You are listening to IP Management Voice, your podcast about the world of IP and IP management. We talk about the smartest minds in the knowledge economy so that you can learn from them. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to our newsletter and research the latest topics on our content platform, Dplex, with the world's most important experts on IP and IP management. The content featured in today's episode on strategic management of IP in today's innovation-driven economy comes from Abdulrahman Al-Ali and David Teese.
Welcome to another deep dive, everybody. Today, we're going to be talking about something that's pretty important in the world today. Strategic intellectual property management. Specifically, we'll be looking at Towards the Strategic Management of Intellectual Property, a paper by Abdulrahman Al-Ali and David Teese.
You know, it's funny how we tend to think of IP as just like patents and trademarks, but it's way more than that. This paper really shows how much innovation has changed and businesses really need to adapt.
Yeah, it's like IP is this hidden engine driving everything. The tech we use, the brands we love, it's all IP. But the authors are saying, you know, just having a patent isn't enough anymore. You've got to be strategic.
Right. Think about it. Now you've got these companies making products with like a ton of different technologies all crammed in there, like smartphones. And it's not just Silicon Valley anymore. Innovation is everywhere. Plus, the internet has totally changed how businesses do their thing.
Okay, so how does all that affect me? I mean, I'm not some big CEO or inventor. Why should I care about managing IP?
That's a good question. Even if you aren't a CEO or an inventor, understanding IP can help you make better choices as a consumer. And who knows? It might even open up some new opportunities for you. Like, imagine you come up with this awesome app idea. Knowing about IP can be the difference between it's staying an idea and, you know, actually making it happen and maybe even making some money off of it.
Right. So it's like, you know, having a great recipe. You need more than the ingredients. Got to know how to cook it, serve it, and get it to the right people.
Yeah.
So how do we go from having an idea to using IP strategically?
Well, the paper talks about this thing called integrated IP management. It's all about thinking bigger than just patents and trademarks. IP is part of your whole business plan.
Okay. So it's not just filing for patents. It's more holistic.
Yeah.
But what does that actually look like practically?
Think of it like building a house. You need a blueprint, a plan. With integrated IP, you're thinking about stuff like, should you have someone else do some of the development? Maybe collaborate with other companies. Open innovation, they call it. And how do you decide the best way to, you know, launch your product?
Like a chess game. You're thinking ahead, planning for challenges, and making decisions based on your IP. Right. But let's be honest, sometimes, even with a good plan, inventions don't take off. Why is that?
That's where David Teese's profiting from innovation framework, or PFI, comes in. You know, even really cool inventions can fail if they don't have the right support.
PFI framework. That's interesting. So tell me, why do some inventions take off while others just, you know, flop?
The PFI framework has four main parts. First, there's the appropriability regime. Basically, how easy is it for someone to rip off your idea and get away with it?
So it's not just about having a patent. It's how strong that protection actually is. What about the other parts?
The second one is complementary assets. It's all about what else you need besides the invention to be successful. Think about manufacturing, marketing, how you get your product out there. Even your reputation matters.
Right. So it's not enough to just have the light bulb moment. You need the whole setup to bring it to the world. Okay, what else?
Then there's the dominant design paradigm. It's basically like the industry standard that emerges, you know, VHS versus Betamax. Sometimes one technology wins, even if it's not the best one.
So even if you have a great invention, if it doesn't fit with where the industry is going, you're in trouble. What's the last piece of the puzzle?
Last is the nature of the innovation. Is it a single product or does it need a whole system to change?
Yeah, I get it. A new kind of toothbrush versus like a revolutionary new energy source that needs a whole new energy grid. So PFI helps us understand why some innovations succeed and others don't. Are there any examples in the paper that show this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They talk about Pilkington's float glass process. That's a real IT success story. They invented this totally new way to make perfectly flat glass.
Flat glass.
Yeah.
Okay. So how did that become such an IP success?
Well, they didn't just patent it. They were smart. They licensed it to the companies that were already making glass. That way, they could use their existing infrastructure and get their product out there quickly.
So they teamed up with the big players instead of going it alone. Clever.
Exactly. But they kept control. They gave out licenses for specific geographic areas. So they managed the global rollout. And they had these rules about sharing improvements between everyone, including themselves.
So everyone wins because everyone benefits from the knowledge and the improvements.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they still kept some secrets, right?
Of course. They protected the stuff you could patent and the know-how, you know, the trade secrets with those licenses. Really smart stuff.
Pilkington really nailed it. But I bet it's not always that easy. What are some of the challenges, even for the pros?
You're right. The IP world is a tricky place. The Al Ali and Tease paper talks about some of the tough issues companies face.
Let's talk about those tough issues. What kind of challenges are we talking about?
Well, one big one is something called patent thickets. It's like, imagine this tangled mess of patents that all overlap. It can be a real nightmare for companies that are trying to innovate without getting sued.
So it's like a legal minefield. Every step you take, boom, lawsuit.
Exactly. So what a lot of companies do is something called defensive patenting. They build up these huge portfolios of patents, not just to protect their own inventions, but also to, like, use as leverage, you know, bargaining chips or to scare off potential lawsuits.
So it's like everyone's stockpiling weapons just in case, huh?
Yeah, it can feel that way. Then you've got standard essential patents or SEPs. Those are patents that are like essential for using a technology that everyone's adopted. Think Wi-Fi or 4G.
So if you control a patent for something everyone needs, you've got a lot of power.
Right. And that brings up some tough questions about fair licensing and making sure everyone can access the technology.
High stakes, for sure.
Mm.
What about those patent trolls we hear about? Do they fit into all of this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The paper talks about those, too. They're called non-practicing entities, or NPEs. Basically, they buy patents just to sue people with them.
So they're not actually innovating. They're just using patents as weapons to make money.
That's the idea. And it's caused a lot of controversy.
So navigating all of this sounds pretty tricky. Are there any strategies that companies can use to, you know, not fall into these traps and actually be successful?
Thankfully, the authors give us some guidance. One of the main things they say is that IP management shouldn't be an afterthought. It needs to be a part of your overall business strategy right from the start.
So it's not just a legal issue. It's baked into the whole way a company operates.
Exactly. And it needs to happen early on, not just when you're already facing a lawsuit or trying to license something. Another thing they emphasize is understanding that appropriability regime we talked about earlier, but specifically in your own industry.
I can see how different industries would have different challenges and things to worry about. What works for a tech startup might not work for a big pharmaceutical company.
Right. And don't forget those complementary assets we discussed. Having strong partnerships and the right infrastructure is really important for success.
It's about more than a great idea. It's having the resources and the people to make it happen. Anything else?
When it comes to patents, think both offensively and defensively. You got to protect what's yours, but you also got to know how to deal with those patent thickets and potential lawsuits.
So it's a balancing act.
Oh, yeah.
Protecting yourself, but also being able to navigate the minefield.
Yep. And don't just focus on patents. Think about trademarks, copyrights, trade secrets. The best strategy is usually a mix of different things.
Like a toolbox for your intellectual property. Okay, any final thoughts?
Well, the IP world is constantly changing, so stay informed, be flexible, and invest in building up your IP knowledge. This stuff's only going to get more important.
Great advice. We've talked a lot about how companies handle this. What about regular people? How does all this affect us as creators, consumers, and, you know, just people living in this world?
You know, that's a great point. In the end, intellectual property is all about human creativity, right? Let's shift gears and talk about the individual. How do all these ideas apply on a personal level?
Let's do it. Whether you're an artist, an entrepreneur, or just someone who loves new tech, understanding IP can really help you.
Absolutely. It can help you protect your work, make some money from your creativity, and be a smarter consumer.
Sounds good to me. So how can understanding IP actually help people in real ways? So we're back and ready to wrap up our intellectual property deep dive.
It's been a really interesting journey, right? From like the nuts and bolts of patents and trademarks to seeing how companies are dealing with this whole landscape.
And we even touched on how individuals can use IP to protect their stuff and, you know, use their creativity to their advantage.
Yeah, but now I want to zoom out a little. Let's look at the bigger picture, the impact of IP on like society as a whole.
Because IP isn't just about protecting inventions and creative work, right?
Yeah.
It affects so much, from how the economy grows to, like, social progress.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a part of how our societies work and how they evolve.
So where do we even begin? What are some of the big societal impacts we should think about?
Well, the most obvious one is probably economic growth. A good IP system encourages innovation, attracts investment, and can even create whole new industries and jobs.
It's like creating a space where creativity and smarts can flourish.
Exactly. When inventors and creators feel like their work is protected, they're more likely to take risks, invest in research and development, and, you know, bring new products and services to the market.
And that helps everyone's economy grow and be more successful.
Right. But it goes beyond those first inventions. Strong IP protection can help companies compete better, export more, and attract investment from overseas.
So it's about giving countries and companies an edge on the world stage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that can really impact national economies and how global trade works.
It's pretty amazing how IP plays such a big part in shaping the economy.
For sure. But it's not just about money. IP is also connected to things like social progress and how humans develop.
Okay, now I'm really interested. How does IP connect to all of that?
Well, think about it. A good IP system can make it easier for people to get knowledge, education, and even healthcare.
It's about making sure that the good stuff from innovation gets to everyone, not just a select few.
Exactly. Think about patents on life-saving medicines. Those patents can be licensed to other companies that make generic drugs. That way, the treatments are way more affordable for people in developing countries.
That's a great example of how IP can actually make a positive difference in the world.
Right. And it happens in other areas, too. Copyright law protects educational materials, so it's easier for teachers and students to get good learning resources.
So it's about empowering people and communities through knowledge and innovation.
Exactly. And that's super important these days with the internet and all. Access to information is crucial.
So we've seen how IP can be good for the economy and good for society. Are there any other impacts we should be thinking about?
Oh, definitely. IP also plays a big role in shaping our culture and even how we see ourselves.
Now, this is getting really interesting. How does IP do that?
Think about all the stuff we love. Music, movies, books, art. It's all protected by IP, right?
It's all made by creative people, and it's all protected in some way.
Yeah. And that stuff doesn't just entertain us. It helps us understand ourselves and the world. It shapes our values, beliefs, even our sense of who we are.
Like, it's the foundation of our shared culture.
Right. And IP law helps preserve and encourage those cultural expressions. It's about keeping our heritage safe so future generations can enjoy it and learn from it.
It's about protecting the stories and the creative voices that make us who we are.
And that's really important to today's world where everyone is connected and cultures are always mixing. IP helps protect traditions while also encouraging, you know, global understanding and conversation.
Wow. It's incredible how IP is so much more than just laws and rules. It's really about how we organize ourselves, how we make progress, how we shape our culture.
It really is, and that's why it's so important to talk about these things, you know, to think critically about IP and make sure the rules actually work for us.
Because what we decide about IP today will affect innovation, creativity, and even our culture in the future.
We need to make sure our system is fair, balanced, and benefits everyone, not just the people making this stuff.
Makes sense. But creating a system like that sounds super complicated. What are some of the biggest challenges we face in, you know, getting that balance right?
One of the biggest is finding the right balance between encouraging new ideas and making sure everyone can access knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's that classic tension between protecting creators and making sure everyone benefits.
Sounds like a tightrope walk.
Yeah, it is. If IP rights are too strong, it can stifle competition, drive up prices, and make it hard for people to get important stuff.
But if they're too weak, creators might not bother making anything new. They gotta know they'll benefit from their work, right?
Absolutely. Finding that balance is key. And there's no one right answer. It changes as technology changes and new challenges pop up.
Like the internet and the whole digital economy.
Exactly. The digital age has brought a whole new set of problems with things like copyright infringement, piracy, and how to make sure everyone can access online content.
It's a whole new world for IP.
You got it. We're still figuring out how to apply the old rules to this new world.
So it's a conversation that needs to keep happening and evolving.
Definitely. And everyone needs to be a part of it. Creators, consumers, the people making the rules, industry experts, everyone. We need all those voices to find the right solutions and keep up with the changes.
Do all those perspectives to get it right.
Absolutely. So we've talked about the challenges, but there are also some really exciting opportunities in the world of IP.
I love ending on a high note. What are some of the most exciting things you see happening?
One really cool area is how IP can contribute to sustainable development and help us tackle global challenges.
I like the sound of that. Tell me more about how IP can create a more sustainable future.
Think about all the innovations in renewable energy, clean technology, sustainable farming. IP can play a big part in protecting and promoting those solutions.
So patents can encourage people to develop these new technologies, and trademarks can help consumers find and choose environmentally friendly products.
Exactly. IP can be a really powerful tool for creating positive change.
And it's not just about the environment,
mm-hmm.
right? What about global health, education, fighting poverty?
Absolutely. IP can help in all those areas. It's about using our smarts and creativity to create a better world for everyone.
That's something we can all get behind.
I agree.
Well, as we wrap up our deep dive into IP, I'm really struck by how complex it is, how powerful it is, and how much it can shape our future, for good or bad.
It's been great exploring all of this with you.
We've covered so much, but it feels like we've only scratched the surface. This is a field that's always changing.
That's what makes it so interesting. There's always something new to learn about IP.
And as we go forward, it's super important that we keep talking about IP law and policy, you know, making sure the rules are keeping up with the times and working for everyone.
Because those decisions affect innovation, creativity, and what our future will look like.
So to everyone listening, as you go out into the world of IP, remember to stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.
Because IP is way more than just legal stuff. It reflects our creativity, our values, and our hopes for a better future.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you learned something new and feel empowered to learn more. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep creating.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.